company. It would have two sides.
Hi, Cam.
Watch yourself, Banshaw woman. Give over.
Again? Don't you realise we've got a pub to run?
No, it's good. It's exploring the interplay of forces on the work of Vasily Kandinsky.
You're a fool, you, for these Russian constructivists, Jack Duckworth. You'll waste your life in front of visual arts programming. Anyway, up, Chuck. I want to watch Three Tenors next.
Do you know, it's Mozart, Mozart, Mozart with you, innit?
You know, you're always griping. It's not that, it's National TV Awards.
Love and affection, 1,000 reasons, but one is the number.
Conservative gear up for another inevitable victory in the general election. I thought I'd hit the streets to find out what Joe Public thinks of our new advertising campaign.
Are you going to vote Labour Conservative in the next elections?
You don't need to take one. Fine, save the environment. Excellent, that's one of our policies as well.
This is a man, this is a street, let's talk Labour Conservatives.
Would you employ anyone who goes to war on a bunch of lies? Would you?
If they apologise for it, probably yeah.
Will you be voting Labour Conservative, or will you be just covering your face with your legs? Despite all the scandal lately and the war and the recession.
Every party they do have that anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Every party has a wall. It's absolutely right. She's absolutely spot on. So that's another vote for Labour Conservative. So we're back in power. Still.
Good.
It's the future and the past. You know it.
He does as well.
Hello, I'm here with another ordinary man. You can confirm you're an ordinary man, sir?
I'm a most ordinary man.
We need some new political mechanics, basically. So
new political mechanics.
Fix the broken cogs of the political...
Really, to be honest with you.
...machine. You can't trust anyone else, any old chances. At least these are experienced.
I don't think that's really the issue, is it?
Take a second to take it all in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Are you planning to vote Labour Conservative for the next general election?
I haven't really decided yet.
You haven't decided? You got any thoughts at all?
Probably Liberal Democrats in my own constituency.
So there's nothing that a leader in your party can do to dissuade you from this now? Even if he came into this cab, he was sick everywhere, maybe, still vote. Still go for him.
Yeah. Well, that might be a different ball game. She's right here where you left her.
And her heart's a lonely hunter. Recognisable to anyone. Me has this report. It starts here with a lacklustre establishing shot of a significant location. Next, a walkie-talkie preamble from the auteur, pacing steadily towards the lens, punctuating every other sentence with a hand gesture and ignoring all the pricks milling around him like he's gliding through the fucking matrix, before coming to a halt and posing a question. What comes next? Often something like this, a filler shot designed to give your eyes something to look at while my voice babbles on about facts. Sometimes it'll slow down to a halt, turn monochrome, and some of those facts will appear one by one on the screen. This is followed by the obligatory shots of overweight people with their faces subtly framed out, after which the report is padded out with a selection of lazy and pointless vox pops.
Usually get some inane chatter from people.
I think they do have too much. I think what we want to hear is actually what's happening and not what other people think of it.
I hate these sound bites. I don't want some punter's opinion usually. No.
Another bit of dull visual abstraction to plug another gap now before the report segues gracefully into a bit of human interest courtesy of some dowdy man opening letters in a kitchen and explaining how he's been affected by the issue.
When I'm watching the news, I don't really, you know, there's a person talking to me, telling me what's going on, and I don't really listen to what they're saying. It's just news.
He, unfortunately, was boring, so to wake you up, this is an animated chart, this is a silhouette representing the average family, and this is a lighthouse keeper being beheaded by a laser beam. As we near the end of the report, illustrative shots of pedestrians and signs and a pipe at a window. And then the final summary, ending on a whimsical shot of something nearby, accompanied by a wry sign-off. If you're lucky, a bit of wordplay fit for a king, or in other words, a regent's treat. Charlie Brooker, Newswipe, London.
Beautiful country. You know, I rode out here about 50 years ago on a little dun horse and started a film career. Picture called The Big Trail. Well, I made quite a few since then. Some good, some bad. Matter of fact, in those days,
CITR!
Matter of fact, they come in pretty handy anytime. Kind of nice to know you have something set aside. So if you ever figure, remember that
CITR
can be mighty helpful.
Yeehaw!
Every minute is like the first minute of my life. I try to manage, but I can't. My mind is like a tape recorder with one button. Erase, erase.
Six Cuts will add more production value to your morning show. Production value.
The next
Six Cuts will add more production value to your morning show.
The first minute of my life.
Yeah.
rescue. A contagion is a real concern apart from the hero himself. Use the creases of anointed death restructuring specialists and bazaars to provide his bazaar brothers who reside a
every
general financial advice. Field spectrum.
I don't remember the day before. Every minute is like the first minute of my life. I try to remember, but I can't. My mind is like a tape recorder with one button. Erase.
Greg Palast is the best-selling author of Armed Madhouse. He's also an investigative journalist for the BBC. Among others, his website is gregpalast.com. Greg, welcome to the Kaiser Report.
Hey, Max. Glad to be with you.
Greg, you are a former corporate fraud and racketeering investigator. The question I have, is there a RICO case to be made against the Wall Street banks, regulators, politicians, rating agencies, fund managers, etc.? Isn't this an example of racketeering, and shouldn't we go after them using RICO?
Absolutely. I was one of the first guys to apply RICO, the anti-racketeering laws, to corporate crime. Big corporations. And absolutely, what you see among the banks is a conspiracy. And I don't say that in the nutcase form, but just, you know, these guys do get together and coordinate how they can suck money out of your pocket. And then obviously a tremendous amount of damage to the economy. And it's perfect racketeering case. But who's going to bring it, Max?
Okay, you know, so in other words,
are they going to bust themselves? Is the administration going to read its rights to itself, or how do we do that?
Right. So it's not a conspiracy theory. This is actually a conspiracy, and the conspiracy involves participants like the rating agencies, Moody's and S&P. It involves the investment banks. It involves the fund managers who are trading on this information, and all of these component parts. I see very frustrating. I watch congressional testimony, and first they introduce the CEOs. What I call the financial terrorists on Wall Street. Then they interview the rating agencies and ask what went wrong. Then they interview some famous fund manager like John Paulson and ask him what went wrong. Well, how come they don't connect the dots and say that they're all corrupt? It's a massive conspiracy. It's racketeering is what it is. And they need to address it as such. Isn't there a mechanism within the U.S. government that could apply this racketeering law? You're saying it doesn't exist. There is nobody. They're all corrupt. There is nobody left. There's no untouchables left.
Well, we have a Securities Exchange Commission, which is completely asleep at the switch. They couldn't even get a guy like Madoff, who is fiddling $50 billion. This stuff is more sophisticated. You know, they looked at Anthony Mazzillo, who's the only guy that they seem to have tagged at all, who ran the countrywide subprime mortgage gangster operation, which became part of Bank of America. But,
right.
You know, it was really a unit of Bank of America, effectively. And so why is Bank of America off the hook? When you have a conspiracy, it's usually with someone. Why is the co-conspirator not in the dock there?
Right.
We also have the rating agencies, as you said, which were paid by the banks to basically whitewash their balance sheets. You know, I mean, you're looking at a guy, I guess this might take me down a few pegs in your estimation, but, you know, would you like to buy some of my Lehman bonds, Max? it was AA+ rated. I think I have a bone to pick with these guys, and it's not just, you know, bad judgment.
Wait a minute. You got sucked into this? You own some of these Lehman paper?
Because I got to tell you that Citibank, unfortunately, where I had stupidly had my money instead of a community credit union, shame on me. They wouldn't let me trade in oil when oil was too high. I wanted to take it. I wanted to bid against oil. They said, no, that's too dangerous. You need to put it in someplace safe. So they parked it for me temporarily in Lehman Brothers, and the rest is wallpaper.
All right, let's move on. You've also reported extensively on vulture funds. These funds are now starting to target Western nations. We know they've been active outside of the West. We see that with Greece, for example. Can you explain to the audience what a vulture fund does, what it will mean to have economic carcasses torn apart by one of these funds in Greece, Iceland, and the rest of these countries, including the U.S.?
Yeah, well, these are funds. These are operators who take advantage of economic chaos, mayhem. In fact, I just came back from Liberia, where I had done a report hunting down American vultures who had seized the debt of Liberia, some of it for nothing, some of it for one penny on the dollar, sued Liberia in the middle of a civil war when they had no government to respond, won, you know, tens of millions of dollars in default judgments, and now are basically sucking up the aid money meant for Liberia. Now, that's how they treat the third world. We're used to that. But I got to tell you, they are turning it now on the U.S. They're turning it on Greece. They're turning it on other countries where basically financiers make money on the demise of economies instead of on the growth of economies. They're not investing in anything. What they're doing is they're seizing financial assets, and they are doing their level best to make sure that the countries collapse. They can then pick up the paper. They can pick up the bonds, the debts for next to nothing. And then they find ways. We found ways through bribery, through intimidation, blackmail, and hiring Henry Kissinger, which wraps it all up, hiring Henry Kissinger to then use political muscle to get paid out of the poorest nation's accounts, or in some cases they'll take seize aid money. You know, in the case of Greece, you've got a bunch of financiers who say, pay up at a tremendous price, or we take the economy down. You have to understand, these countries are paying you serious rates to borrow to stay alive. Well, you can't, it's just like Argentina, which is being forced to pay 16%. Well, if you pay 16% on your debts, you cannot possibly stay in business as a nation. And now they're playing the game with Greece. They're putting pressure on Greece. And that's just one example. But, you know, they do it within nations, too, whether it's on the auto parts industry in the United States, etc. You'll see vultures acting everywhere. One vulture I've been dealing with, Elliott Associates, investigating for the BBC, made its money in the asbestos area by figuring out how to buy up asbestos companies, then getting the law changed so that these asbestos companies wouldn't have to pay the victims of asbestos, of lung cancer caused by asbestos, and therefore the company suddenly became very valuable. So these are people who made money off of not paying sick, dying people. This is a vulture. The difference is that at least, the difference between a vulture with feathers, a bird, and these vultures, is that vultures with feathers at least wait for things to die. These guys are killers.
Right. So the key phrase there is they got the laws changed. Now, when I was working on Wall Street, many times what I was told from my management at the firms that I worked for is go ahead and break the laws because we can always change the laws. And this is the attitude that they had on Wall Street, is that if they broke the law, it wasn't that they were breaking the law, is that the law needed to be changed. The law hadn't kept up with the brilliance down there at Goldman and J.P. Morgan. So they just go ahead and break the law, and then we'll use the money we're making by stealing all this money from Americans to buy congressmen, to buy politicians, to go change the law. So it's part of the no-lose situation.
Well, in fact, I ran a story about, why do you think they took down Elliott Spitzer? They've always known that he couldn't keep his zipper up. Why did they take him down when they did? The answer is, they literally got him the day he was announcing that he was filing a lawsuit on behalf of every state attorney general in the United States against the subprime mortgage lenders, Countrywide, Bank of America, Citibank, the whole crew. And he's filing a nationwide attack on this $1 trillion business, saying the entire business was criminal, was illegal. And what they did was they busted Elliott Spitzer on, you know, they pulled out the file on him. And then they decriminalized usurious mortgage lending, predatory mortgage. It used to be called predatory lending. Predatory lending was like what loan sharks did. But when guys are making, like Anthony Mazzillo of Bank of America's Countrywide unit, earned over $500 million personally. $500 million personally through predatory mortgage practices. This stuff used to be illegal. You're right. You used to go to jail for this. You break rocks on a chain gang. Now you get $100 million bonuses.
Right. Anthony Mazzillo, of course, of Countrywide. And part of the way that this whole Ponzi scheme works is that they're bought by Bank of America. And then Bank of America, to hide a huge Ponzi scheme, subprime mortgages over Merrill Lynch, ends up buying Merrill Lynch. when they consolidate these balance sheets, they put hundreds of billions or trillions off the balance sheet, special purpose entity accounts. They don't include them in their balance sheet reporting whatsoever. They go to Congress. They ask for a $700 billion bailout, as Paulson did at the point of a gun at the end of 2008. They say, we need this to bail out these companies. But they don't disclose that as part of their machinations, as part of the Ponzi scheme, as part of the racketeering and fraud, that they're holding back hundreds of billions more in debt. Now, a year later, a year and a half later, these same guys, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIGs, are coming back and saying, oh, we have another $300 billion in losses, another $400 billion in losses. We forgot to tell you about those. So they just keep basically holding the economy hostage. And when they, as you point out, Goldman, J.P. Morgan, Cantor Fitzgerald, they make money on Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers collapsing. They make money during, before, after. And now that they've run out of banks to terrorize, they're terrorizing countries like Greece. They're terrorizing countries like Iceland. And they're using the same techniques. They bring in the products like the Goldman advising the Greek government to hide billions in debt. The Greek government collapses. They're making money on the way down. They're making money on the way up. They're making money during the transaction. So it's basically rackets all around, 360 degrees of fraud. And there's not a single entity in the United States, in any the Fed, the Treasury, Capitol Hill, nowhere, that's standing up and doing one thing. Now, one of your most famous investigative pieces you did exposed the theft of the U.S. election in the year 2000. Now, the question is, Americans respond en masse with vitriol and sending the troops outrage at the merest allegation of vote rigging in countries outside of the U.S. But when it happens in their own country, they don't seem to care.
Yeah, it is very weird. I mean, I'm the one who uncovered that during the 2000 election, Jeb Bush and Katherine Harris tagged black people as felons, criminals not allowed to vote, but their only crime was voting while black. That was the election. We had about 87,000, something like that, the people excluded from voting were allowed to vote. 2004, it was actually worse. It was actually worse. 2008 was the worst election yet. I did an investigation with civil rights attorney Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We estimated about 6 million people were turned away from the polls who had the right to vote, or had their ballots disqualified, especially mail-in ballots. You got 25 million mail-in ballots. About 3 million of those were thrown in the garbage. You mail in your vote, it didn't get counted. Come on. And we decided, okay, I mean, if when it happens in the Ukraine, we protest, we withdraw our ambassador. When it happens in Peru, we say, count all the votes. Whatever happened to counting all the votes? This is not happening in the U.S. We're not facing the fact. People say, oh, Obama got elected, so the election wasn't stolen. 6 million people in 2008 didn't have their votes counted, guys. That's serious. I don't care who wins or loses. Why don't we count the votes? This is a big issue. We're getting distracted by things about computer voting, etc. The big issue is people being removed from the vote registry. No one is talking about that in America. I have to report that on BBC or... Thank you for letting me do that.
Well, Greg Fallis, thanks for being on the Kaiser Report.
I'll do it again.
We'll have to have you back again soon. Greg Fallis, author of the classic, the now classic, Armed Madhouse. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Kaiser Report. I want to thank my guests, Stacey Herbert and Greg Fallis. If you want to send me an email, please do so at kaiserreport@rttv.ru. Until next time, this is Max Kaiser saying bye, y'all.
on Wednesday by Somali pirates have been freed by a Russian warship. Our correspondent Denise Belonsky is outside the headquarters of the rescued vessel's owners.
All 23 crew members of the Russian oil tanker Moscow University are alive and well. There were some dramatic moments for these people. Most of them are from Novorossiysk, and for their families here in the southern Russian city. The atmosphere here remained very tense. That is up until this morning when it was confirmed that Russian Marines rescued the hostages on board the tanker in the Gulf of Aden. Luckily, no crew members were harmed and the pirates were detained. One of them has been killed. Russian oil tanker Moscow University was attacked in the Gulf of Aden, several hundred miles off the coast of Somalia, at about 8 a.m. Moscow time on Wednesday. The captain immediately informed the EU security forces in the area. He also got in touch with the commander of the Russian battleship, Marshal Shapochnikov. He said that two small vessels with armed men on board approached the tanker. The pirates, according to captain's report, were armed with automatic weapons and they started shooting upon approach. At that point, the line broke up, so for the rest of the day, on Wednesday, we did not know what was happening on board. All crew members managed to hide, to lock themselves up in the machine vault. They've taken enough food and water supplies to remain locked for several days. And the tanker's cargo, the 86,000 tons of oil, actually helped to save these people's lives. The pirates were afraid to shoot grenade launchers to blow up the door.
The crew managed to hold off the siege for more than 20 hours. And in these tough conditions, they managed to keep the vessel in one spot all the way until the arrival of the Russian warship.
The captain pressed a special emergency button to turn off the engines, so the pirates were unable to get away. Russian Marines were the first to chase the captured tanker and to accomplish their mission. A Navy helicopter with Marines on board was deployed from the Russian battleship Marshal Shapochnikov early in the morning on Thursday. The operation was so quick that pirates actually did not have any chance to retaliate, so only a brief shooting occurred before it was over. This particular area of the Gulf of Aden off the coast of Somalia was considered to be safe prior to Wednesday's incident, so it looks like local pirates are expanding their area of operation. It's not known at this moment whether the vessel will continue its journey to China. But once again, at this moment, the most important information for everyone here in Novorossiysk is that the 23 crew members aboard the Russian oil tanker were freed. They are alive and well.
They're done with.
velcro gloves, knee pads, late night dates,
done with shit,
warning signs, electric fences, high voltage,
done with shit.
Minute field recording of a tumluku, which is a Bosnian instrument which can only be played when you have a pierced scrotum and three kids who have been killed by a landmine. It's unlistenable radio! You understand me?
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Totally listenable radio.
Package
Wednesday's violence included a bank in the capital being set alight. Demonstrators clashed with police when protesters marched on the country's parliament building. They're angry at government spending cuts, saying that securing a 110 billion euro risk to IMF. Trend forecaster Joel Solente says the Greek situation is going global.
The overall reality is that the people are seeing, what is this bailout all about and who is responsible for funding it? And it's falling on the backs of the people, just like in America, where they've taxed the people to bail out the too big to fails. Let's call this Greek bailout what it is. It's bailing out the European and the American banks that made big bets on Greek bonds that they're afraid are going to go belly up. The economies start to fail. We're going to see it in Spain. We're going to see it in Portugal. We already see it in Latvia, in the Ukraine, in Hungary, in Ireland. It's going global. There's no stopping it, and the people are going to revolt. This is a classic example of what happens throughout history. As the too rich get too much, there's no stopping it, and the people are going to revolt. This is a classic example of what happens throughout history. As the too rich get too much, and the rest of the people are taxed to pay for their overindulgences.
Who are you voting for?
Oh, I've already voted.
What do you mean you've already voted?
This new exciting new initiative with YouTube. This will be a regular event.
People from Eastern Europe in the country, and I do apologise if I've said anything that has been hurtful, and I will apologise to her personally.
Someone has just handed me the tape. Let's play it and see if we can hear it.
She never picked up the phone. Whose idea was that?
No, I didn't see.
That's true, nothing.
Raindrops on roses.
handshake is off too much once in a while. It's only human nature.
Nature, Mr. Allnut, is what we are put in this world to rise above.
Jillian, I'm motor. I've just been talking to Jillian. I'm more accepted my apology. If you like, I'm a penitent sinner. Sometimes you say things that you don't mean to say. Sometimes you say. Sometimes you say things that you don't mean to say. Sometimes you say things by mistake, and sometimes when you say things, don't mean to say. Sometimes you say things quickly. So I wanted to come here and say to Jillian, I was sorry to say that I've made a mistake, but to also say I understood the concerns that she was bringing to me. Her own history and what Jillian about her relatives and them. Sometimes you say things that you don't mean to say. Sometimes you say things by mistake, and sometimes when you say things, well, it's a chance for me to apologise and say sorry, and to say that sometimes you do make mistakes and you use wrong words. And once you've used that word and you've made a mistake, you should withdraw it and say.
Being paid on pensions, about the national debt.
Now, you've just watched that, heard the Prime Minister's words in the Sky News Club. What is your instant reaction to that?
I'm very upsetting. I'm very upset.
Did you expect that from him?
No.
He's an educated person.
Why has he come out with it with words like that? He's going to leave this country, and he's calling an ordinary woman who's just come up and asked him questions what most people had asked him. They're not doing anything about the national debt. It's going to be tax for another 20 years to get it.
Hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? Hey you, standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fainting smiles, can you feel me? Hey you, don't help them to bury the lies. Don't give in without a fight. There on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? Hey you, with your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me? Hey you, would you help me to carry the stone? Your heart, I'm coming home.
Sort of holding it at either end, looking businesslike with that cod. The whole thing, the whole business is so controlled. I mean, of all the parties, the Tories are by far the most controlling of the image opportunities. We were all back behind a row of fish boxes.
Show us the big fish! Go on!
With Davis also, he's all PR, he's all presentation. And presentation is ridiculously important to David Cameron. Really, what the condom is the fact that he's all surface. The idea of a membrane encompassing the surface, encompassing everything, and actually being everything in this case. But what he does have is this assured set of poses and presentational devices. They're very effective, but I'm not sure how long they will be. Grimsby is like a perfect location for Dave because it is all about fish. And I was looking at the poor old cod in the boxes, you know, some of them. Great big bulgy eyes, glassy, lots of reflections on them. Rather like Dave's eyes, and you know, Dave has that same kind of thing. He has also the slightly fishy pout. There was him talking to a camera, just, he was in the distance. We weren't anywhere near him, so this was all like with a telescope. And that was really irritating, actually. You couldn't sort of hear or say what he was saying. He was talking to somebody down the line through a camera and going on about some sort of big society guff. And then he came up.
You can put a fish in the condom now.
My camera ran out of film, unfortunately.
What have you done to your...
It's to keep it's so to I keep can look on. Underneath the glasses while I draw a picture of you, so... Any more...
Well, that halibut was quite impressive, wasn't it?
Was that what it was?
Yeah. Am I right? That's right?
Yes. Halibut.
That was the big one.
I didn't know they came that big, but anyway.
And the other one was
right,
a cod.
Sorry, I'm going to get on.
Yeah. What he said to me, actually, I didn't hear because I was so dozy, so completely knackered. Oh, you're going to put a fish in a condom? So, well, that's a good suggestion. I can't turn that one down. So he was knackered, I was knackered, everybody's knackered. The whole thing's totally fucking absurd.
Good morning. Sorry about the swear word at the end of the Guardian piece there. This is CITR. It's 5 to 8. Adam's coming in. It's going to be a humdinger of an election special. Yes, news from the end of the world.
Comedy, returning on Friday evenings at 6:30 and Saturdays at 12:30. Next on Radio 4 FM with the news on Long Wave, the news headlines are followed by the shipping forecast.
Ha ha ha!
Bunt. James Bunt.
Oh, James. Oh, James.